Hey, Bob WP here, and welcome to Scaling Enterprise, WordPress, and OSS, a Do the Woo podcast show. Woo! Woo! This show is brought to you by Avalara, where they help with cloud-based and scalable global tax compliance. Avalara focuses on creating the most comprehensive cloud-first tax compliance content across the global compliance lifecycle. I'll tell you more about Avalara later in the show, but let's dive into today's Scaling Enterprise, the buyer's view.
Hello, and welcome to Scaling Enterprise, WordPress and open source. I'm Kareem Maruki, your host from the Scale Consortium, and today we're going to have a great episode talking about specifically how the enterprise stakeholders and the customers that we work with have been working through the challenges of how to compare monolithic and CMS products out there to WordPress and open source CMSs and DXPs. And today we have a very special guest with us, Dan Drapeau. Jan?
Hey, Kareem. So I'm Dan Drapeau. I'm an independent consultant specializing in DXP advisory services. I've worked extensively with a pretty wide array of digital experience platforms, content and commerce platforms, starting really from an engineering and architecture perspective, and then evolving into platform strategy advisory. As the industry has shifted here, I've expanded my expertise to include CDPs, personalization. In late 2023, I launched my own brand, DXP Catalyst Consulting, to help continue to guide organizations through their digital transformation journeys. I've been working in the CMS DXP space for about 12 years or so, going back to my time at North Point Digital. You know, I kind of moved on from there to EY for a number of years, and then from there to a tech director role at Blue Fountain Media in New York before landing at Avanade.
Okay. Well, that's quite a background in helping the enterprise trying to figure out what to use. So we're going to use that. In your experience, how are they approaching procurement?
Sometimes, let's say the sponsor might be a CIO or CMO. They might kind of suggest, hey, we need to do a DXP evaluation. This is the vendor I've worked with in the past, so I've got some preference toward this one. So it's a little bit of a difficult task for procurement to go from there. You know, they can pull up a Gartner or Forrester document and look at the leading DXPs. But that doesn't really tell the whole story because, of course, there's open source solutions and you can't really compare an open source solution or really talk about open source CMS to a DXP, right? It's comparing apples and oranges. So that's really where procurement has some challenges initially, just trying to even move forward with this type of conversation.
So in my experience as well, I've seen that you're right. The stakeholder is coming usually to the conversation already thinking, I've either worked with product X before, or I would like to work with product Y before going forward. So they're coming with these preconceptions to the conversation. And are they asking procurement for alternatives, or are they bringing them a set of alternatives sometimes? Or how is that working? Are procurement departments in the know of what alternatives are?
I'm not sure if procurement departments are always in the know about it. You know, I think there could be a variety of factors, right? It could be like a CIO leading, like the charge to select a new enterprise solution for the company. And he or she might already be working with like an outside agency and getting some counsel on this. But yeah, it's certainly possible a CIO, I think in more circumstances, they come in with, you know, we want to go with Adobe and it'll be up to procurement to find a couple other selections if the company's truly trying to go at this alone.
And are you finding in working with your customers that sometimes these stakeholders are asking RFP writers or proposal writers in their departments or even consultants to write it for a specific platform, as in, I just want to work with this platform? Or are they feeling more open-ended? I mean, really, before we even get to procurement, how are they approaching procurement when they do this? Are they approaching it with an open mind mostly? Or do you see most of the time that they've sort of said, let's write it in this way?
A mix. You know, sometimes I've seen outside agencies or consultancies write a RFP or RFI on behalf of the customer, and it might be tilted toward a particular vendor. I think if an organization is doing this alone, then I think there tends to be more of an open mind in terms of writing the RFI. So it doesn't benefit like a single vendor.
That falls in line with my experience as well, where you can sort of tell sometimes if it's been done with the help of an outside agent, as opposed to they've hired somebody like yourself who's independently thinking, right, let's go talk about what your gap is. Okay.
And oftentimes the RFI might not come out always that well if a company doesn't have the experience to put these types of documents together, specifically in the DXP CMS world.
Right. Exactly. So now let's turn to the fact that what if they have written this RFI or RFP and it's going towards, I would like an all-in-one solution, procurement solution that is one vendor. What are the challenges for procurement that you see? How would procurement deal with that if all of a sudden somebody says, well, what about open source?
I think they need to look more at the bigger picture here and really understand the requirements. Like, is a full DXP truly needed here, where we're talking about content management, analytics, personalization, email marketing, or do they really just need a CMS? Once you have a better grasp of the requirements, it's a little bit easier to do a comparison. And also, by having that full understanding, you can slice and dice things a little bit. So maybe you want to look at things on a capability by capability basis. So, you know, maybe you look at a couple monolithic DXPs, but you could also say, look at individual CMS solutions or individual personalization solutions. Really depends exactly what's in scope. So I think that one is pretty critical. And really, they need to look at total cost of ownership as well. You know, that's such a significant factor.
Of course, but I heard you say there, if they're looking at DXP or open source. So right there, that's the same assumption that we're dealing with in the open source world, where they're thinking it's either DXP, definition meaning one system, or it's open source. Now, in a lot of the marketing I'm seeing these days, the monolithic DXPs are bending over backwards to try and use the word composable.
Yes.
So while they're doing that, is that an opportunity for the open source vendors to say, okay, let's help you redefine DXP instead of approaching it as a either or? Can they approach and say, no, this is the same as the monolithic. They're just as composable. How can the vendors approach that mindset of it's either a DXP or I'm going to go look at open source?
Yeah, the rise of composability, I think, has changed things a little bit. Like you said, you've seen some of the vendors out there offer more of a composable suite now, kind of transitioning from a monolith. And again, when I look at a DXP, it's like an ecosystem of technologies or capabilities, content management, commerce, and so on. And there's no reason there can't be an open source composable DXP, right? There could be an open source CMS at the heart of it, but then you could integrate any other product that you might want. So I think that's a good way to view it when you're trying to do a selection.
Right.
I'm sure you'll feel reassured if your clients' enterprise sites are hassle-free and tax compliant. Avalara offers the compliance benefits that your clients need. With a reliable and scalable rate determination and customization with Avalara, you can be confident that your clients' tax rates are always accurate and up to date. Their streamlined process means reduced maintenance and IT obligations, so your team and your enterprise clients can focus on what they do best. Plus, Avalara's future-proof SaaS flexibility ensures that you and your clients are always up to date. You can depend on enterprise class security, so you can trust that your client's data is safe and secure. And lastly, Avalara's intuitive interface makes managing compliance simple, and their friendly support team is always ready to help. So yes, Avalara, compliance done right for your enterprise clients. Check them out at avalara.com.
Well, so You mentioned being able to choose your own. And when the all-in-one vendors are trying to market the fact that they are all-in-one, you don't need to worry about it, even if it is composable. We've got your back. I remember from our conversations, when you start your process, you conduct the MarTech gap analysis, right? So tell us about that and tell us how that could help stakeholders and folks within an organization try and figure out if they need to only be on the track for a monolithic system or if they could think composable.
Sure. I mean, so oftentimes I do the gap analysis when I'm working with like marketing executives. Let's say they're defining like a new digital customer experience and they're working maybe with an agency doing persona definition, journey mapping, UI UX work to envision what it could look like. But then when it comes to reality and trying to actually build a solution, there might be gaps in their like MarTech ecosystem. And that's where my service typically comes in. So they might have a really old monolithic solution in place, you know, for a DXP as it is, but there might be a scenario where they have an old CMS, but they're missing capabilities for personalization, CDP, other things they might need. So that's generally where I help that. And like the output of that is typically, do we need to do a platform strategy or is it more optimizing your current architecture? If it's a platform strategy, then it's important to understand where the gaps are and what capabilities do we really need to be looking at? Because sometimes it's not just CMS.
Correct. Right. So if they're looking at a DXP rather than just looking only the content management, it's really then about system integration. How would you approach that in trying to help the stakeholder say to their procurement department, I'd like to look outside of a monolithic? Do you have advice for open source vendors of how they can approach helping their customers in speaking to procurement of looking just outside the monolithics?
One thing I mentioned was just really understanding the requirements. So, you know, again, do they need a DXP with like a broad set of integrated capabilities or do they need just a CMS or best of breed type solution? I think really educating the client stakeholders is pretty important, making sure they understand the benefits and trade-offs of open source solutions. And understanding, you know, what composable architecture means, why taking like a composable modular approach makes sense. And composable also doesn't only mean SaaS solutions, right? You obviously have to factor in open source here. I think educating them too about like, not just the total cost of ownership when you look at it, but the flexibility you get. Outside of that, I think case studies can be pretty helpful in helping organizations understand the value of open source and why they should consider it. And sometimes proposing like a pilot or proof of concept can go a long way as well, but I don't see that used too often anymore.
Okay. So that can help our customer stakeholders explain it to other customers within their departments, whether it's marketing or IT or so forth. But when they then switch and saying, right, I'm going to think of going to these two monolithic systems. And as a third option, I'd like to look at open source. What I think our listeners would love to know is how can they tell procurement this is worth doing? This is worth not only looking at monolithics where you're going to talk to one vendor, but let's look at open source where you might have to talk to multiple vendors. I think you nailed it on the head earlier when you mentioned total cost of ownership, but what other benefits or what information do they need to give procurement? Because as far as I've seen, and you know, you tell me, you're the expert, procurement is focused on schedule, ease of contract, and costs, right? So how do we get that information to procurement? How can our listeners approach their procurement professionals and help them understand why they should go through the extra effort?
Well, I think there can be some trade-offs when you're looking at the monolithic solutions as well, like vendor lock-in being a significant one. You know, you just have so much more flexibility with open source solutions. And I think that's a pretty important thing for the stakeholders to actually understand. And again, TCO is incredibly significant to really justifying why an open source solution should be evaluated.
Okay, great. And have you run into any examples of where, for instance, they've been looking at solutions and they had questions about how many vendors does it take, or what is the difference between dealing with a monolithic and an open source platform?
Yeah, that topic comes up. I think there's a lot to delve into there, kind of looking at like the advantages and disadvantages of a monolithic DXP versus open source. So, I mean, I'm happy to dive into some of that if that might make sense here. So where to start? So it's one of my favorite conversations. I think with disadvantages of like a monolithic solution, a significant one to me is innovation lag. So monolithic solutions just don't keep pace with like rapid changes in the digital landscape. So new features and capabilities take a long time to develop and release, and that really limits what the org can do. I know we're kind of talking more so about content management, but one example I like using is around commerce. So if you're a retailer and you've got a monolithic commerce solution, let's say there's a rise in voice commerce, augmented reality commerce, conversational commerce. With that type of solution, how can you really compete in the market when your competitors might have a more modern architecture or modern solution and they can adapt to trends and technologies more quickly? With a monolithic solution, there tends to be pretty complex implementation, and it's also a huge undertaking to do an upgrade. So when I look at a solution like a Sitecore, for example, upgrading from version 8 to 9 or 9 to 10 is like a big project. You don't have that case with open source solutions typically, with one caveat with an older version of Drupal. There tends to be pretty high initial costs as well upfront with making use of a monolithic DXP, and just a lot of lack of flexibility. You've got vendor lock-in. It's tough to switch providers. So if you're using a solution with built-in personalization, maybe it's not the easiest thing to do to leverage another personalization solution or personalization vendor in the market because you have like a pre-integrated package. And scalability can be an issue with monolithic DXPs as well.
Let me back you up a second. When you mentioned about the lack of innovation, that's why they started switching their conversations from we are monolithic to we're really composable. You can actually plug things in and out. And they start touting the fact that they have APIs. Are they exposing their entire system so you can plug into any part of it and use any other system? Because that's the way the marketing makes it sound. How extensive are these APIs?
It depends. So, you know, there are still some monolithic solutions in the market. Like I mentioned Sitecore quite a bit because I worked with it extensively while I was at Avanade. So they've got their XP product, and that's truly monolithic solution where you've got content management, personalization, email marketing, and analytics. They've kind of switched to a composable suite where they have a number of other SaaS products that you can integrate. But you know, there's some trade-offs with that too, like multiple interfaces to deal with. So, you know, some companies have shifted in that direction, but their customers haven't, and their customers might still be using the monolithic solutions today because it's a big investment to go from a single all-in-one solution to potentially needing to license 4 or 5 tools from the same vendor.
Right. That actually can bring your cost of ownership higher and higher each time they innovate, I say in quotes. So if it's harder to innovate, that's the negative. On the positive side, you do have one throat to choke, right? On the vendor side, you do have one way to do that. You know, today with Acquia, you can use Drupal and you can still have a one vendor solution by bringing in one of their approved agencies and the way they're structuring their projects these days. But besides that one example, if you do want to use WordPress and have DXP style functions, how do you decide where to go? How do you approach that conversation when you're speaking to your customers?
Really understanding what capabilities they need and then exploring potentially independent or best of breed solutions in each of those areas. DXP encompasses a lot from content management through commerce, CDP, personalization, DAM. And there's a lot of vendors that have great solutions in each of those areas that are not part of a broader vendor-specific DXP. So I think once you have an understanding what you've got WordPress, but now you know you need a CDP and you need personalization capabilities, now you can hone in your search on what other solutions are out there and figure out how you can go about integrating it within your solution, like a WordPress. Yeah, it's easier in some cases, like you mentioned, Drupal, where Acquia exists, and they do have a number of products in their ecosystem, and one throat to choke, right? It's a single vendor. With WordPress, you just have more flexibility and have infinite choices to figure out what the right solution might be. You have to do more exploration on your own.
So the negative being that you have to do a little bit more homework, or you have to come a little bit more prepared. But what I'm hearing is that there's an opportunity for both open source vendors and for the customers within an enterprise organization, the stakeholders, to say, I have some ideas around how I want to do things. And if I understand the major pieces that I want to put together, then a good consultant or a good agency can help me fill in those gaps if I find the right one. There's an opportunity there, right?
For sure. I think in most cases, I would recommend an organization goes with an agency or independent consultant, because it's hard to do this on your own. Most companies don't have the inside knowledge about every CDP vendor out there, or what the right solutions are and how they all integrate. I mean, that's a hard problem to solve.
Right. So, Dan, we've talked about how to approach the stakeholders, and we've talked about how the stakeholders might want to approach procurement, talk about some of these things. Do you have any advice for agencies or WordPress hosting platforms of the best ways to show a procurement department that they can create the same type of solution as some of these monolithics, that they can compete?
Sure. I think it's up to the agency and maybe the enterprise hosting provider to come in as a united front. In my experience, having these discussions with the procurement department, that has worked most effectively. So, at least within the WordPress space, when we're talking about enterprise hosting, typically you think of WP Engine, Automattics, WordPress VIP, and Pantheon would be another great one. So yeah, coming in as a united force is really the key approach I would take in that circumstance.
That makes sense. So I've seen a lot of RFPs come across where they are specifically written for a monolithic system. Do you have any advice for agencies and or hosts when it comes to answering these questions, that maybe the answer is actually split across both vendor and host?
Yeah. So actually kind of branching off our topic of working as a united front, I think it's the same in this circumstance. If I were an agency, I would lean on the vendor, like a WP Engine, to answer the questions specifically around infrastructure. And then as the agency, I would answer the questions from more of a services, like integration perspective, and kind of be transparent. It's a collective force. It's not an all-in-one solution that or product that does everything.
Okay, Dan, thank you. That is a really good answer. So in answering these questions and trying to help procurement understand how best to look at these, it sounds like be yourself, be honest, but also go out of your way to make sure that you're explaining the benefits of open source around not only the total cost of ownership, but really the deep expertise that you're going to get out of multiple vendors. It sounds, though, that like the key here is to highlight composability and the fact that you're not monolithic. I think that is the key from what I'm hearing in this conversation. So could you share some insights on how the different agencies or the different vendors out there around WordPress and open source can roadmap their services or roadmap their approach to dealing with these types of customers? How can they compete if you could give us sort of a wrap up of how they can prepare to have these conversations, what kind of homework should they do?
Yeah, I think road mapping would be key. If an agency is coming in with a solution like WordPress for a content management system, having a roadmap for figuring out where you might need to inject new functionality, like personalization, might make sense down the road. How are you going to address that, you know, within WordPress? You might select a specific tool, but how the integration would work, and also factoring in prerequisite work like having a personalization strategy. So I think a lot of that logic needs to be kind of sorted out in advance, because from, I think, more a monolithic vendor solution, they can just say, use flip a switch. And now, obviously, that's not really reality, but that's how they would probably go about presenting it. So I think with the agency and hosting provider, it's more just presenting a thorough roadmap and maybe even architecture of the direction you're going to go.
Okay. So I asked from the point of view of an agency, but really that is also what the buyer should be keeping really in the back of their mind, is this idea behind, you do have, at the end of the day, you do have the negatives of it's the Wild West. It's very open. You have the entire MarTech 11,000 plus that you could compose a solution from. But the positives are that if you find the right partner, if you find the right consultant such as yourself to help with figuring out what your needs are, and then find the right agency and the right platform, you can have what we've seen out there in the wild as solutions that don't need to be replatformed every 3 to 5 years. They can just develop because you are truly composable. And as you want to move from personalization X to Y or email platform W to Z, you can do that because you are truly composable when using open source as a hub. Is that fair?
For sure. Yeah, I think with most monolithic solutions, like one thing we touched on was the significant upgrades. And it's really the case if they're like hosted on-prem or cloud, like cloud hosted. But that is a major problem, and you don't have that flexibility to test out a new vendor or product very easily without an extensive amount of work. With open source and just a composable framework, it's totally a different story. With WordPress, you never have significant upgrade cycles, right? There's like incremental updates, and I think normally the enterprise hosting provider does those core updates for you. You're more on the hook for updating plugins and things like that. But the major pro is that you don't have to have those significant upgrade cycles. You can focus more on innovation and building out new functionality. I mean, that's the key, most critical part for the business.
Great. Thank you. And with that, I'd like to thank everybody for joining us and look forward to our next conversation. Please don't forget to come to our page and get our podcast from wherever you get your favorite podcast from. Scaling Enterprise, WordPress, and Open Source Software. I'm Kareem Muruki, and thank you for joining us.